But my name is Kennedy, and thanks. I'm excited to be with you guys today. It's a privilege to share, and I'm just going to open up with prayer. Lord, we love you, and we invite your presence to continue to dwell with us, to speak to us, to reveal yourself to us. And even now, I just submit our time and my words and ask you to reveal yourself and to speak to us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so I want to speak this morning about knowing God and cultivating his presence in our life, personally and also corporately. Recently, Gary spoke on Luke chapter 10 about the Good Samaritan and how we can become familiar with certain texts or even the way we do our quiet time and the way we do life or church. And sometimes we can become complacent in that because, oh, we know the Good Samaritan, like da-da-da-da-da-da, you sort of skim over and move to the next part. Does anyone else do this? Like you get familiar with things in your life. And so I sort of want to touch on that. And I also want today to be like totally interactive. So everybody lift your right hand. Everybody lift your left hand. Say, go God. Okay. So if you have a response or if you relate to some question or have an answer, like speak up or, you know, give a little wave. Okay, because I really want us to engage and be more interactive. Okay, I'm going to make sort of an analogy or an allegory, I'm not sure, with the old city of Jerusalem and our walk with God. So, a lot of people come from around the world to come to the old city of Jerusalem, right? And some people, maybe they've just driven by on Hebron Road or Highway 60, passing by. I mean, they've come a long way. And now they've been to the old city of Jerusalem, right? They've come to the old city in Jerusalem. Or maybe even they had an amazing tour from the Tielet, this picture-perfect view of the old city. And they heard about it and they learned about it. So how many people would you say from around the world would now say, I've been to the old city of Jerusalem? Some people? Okay. But then there's some people like me who have the privilege of having actually been inside the old city. Like, I don't live there. I can see it from my window, which I think is an enormous gift that I don't take for granted. Albert lives there. Who else lives inside of the old city? Okay. So they actually have a much more intimate knowledge of the old city than I do. I have a few routes that I love. I have these places that I'm really familiar with and even go there for certain purposes. You know, like how many of you go to the pharmacy in the old city? Okay, we know how to get there. I know how to get to Udi's art space. I know how to get to Ibrahim's textiles. There's a common route that I would take visitors or tourists on. My favorite, you know, like you all, how many of you have your favorite spots in the old city? Okay, but personally, I have like a common route that I pretty much stick to. I know how I like to get to the Western Wall. I love to run around the outside. But there's so many areas of the old city that I've never gone to. There's honestly areas that I feel like uncomfortable getting to. There's times that I've wanted to go new places in the old city, but it takes time. And honestly, I might get lost, and that takes more time. And it feels unfamiliar and uncomfortable. So how many of you like have that knowledge of the old city? Your favorite spots, you know how to get there? The Austrian hospice? Okay, I just went there for the first time the other day. I was so excited. I've been hearing about it a long time. So there's that level, right, of knowing the old city. But then you have the T's who live there. You have Albert who lives there. You have, how many of you grew up here in Jerusalem and you actually like really know the old city? You know like how it smells in the morning. You know what time certain families wake up and where their kids go, and you've watched them grow. Or you know how the flowers and the seasons change and how the light comes in at different times of the year. I'm talking like an intimate knowledge, you know, of this place, this old city. How many of you have that kind of knowledge of the old city? Right. So you have this, like, I'm sure you have these spots where it's like your favorite view and the best smells at a certain time of day, or the places that you want to avoid because of the crowds or just the rush of the hour. Like, this is an intimate knowledge of a place. And I just want to make this comparison with our relationship with God. Because, you know, some people have this overview, like, oh yeah, I know God. I grew up in a Christian home. I've read the Bible, some of it. You know, I listen to Christian music. My quiet time looks like this, you know? So how many of you know people who know God, like from a distance? They've seen his glory. I can even tell you, lots of people can tell you what God is like. They can tell you what it feels like, right? So we have this basic knowledge of who God is. And then we have another level of knowing God and experiencing him. We have our quiet time. It usually, how many of you have a consistent, like, quiet time, or a goal of a consistent quiet time, or ways that you usually find yourself engaging with him? We have our favorite ways, you know, our consistent routes of meeting with him, of knowing him. And this is amazing. This is a huge gift. You can lead other people into that place. You can invite other people into that place with you. And it's a huge gift. It's incredible. And then you have this intimate knowledge of God that, honestly, I mean, I have ways that I have yet to experience God. I know there is so much more of his glory and his power, of his love, of his presence, of his healing, of his delight. Like, there is so much more of God that I have yet to encounter that I really desire. And actually, I so feel God's desire to reveal himself to each one of us, that it's his desire to reveal the fullness of his love, the fullness of his grace, the fullness of his kindness, and his presence, and his power, and his healing, and his help to each one of us. And so, like that last level of intimacy that you guys have of the old city, that growing up in it and continuing to stay in it and search it out, like, there is so much of God that I have yet to discover. And honestly, if we were going to, let's say I wanted to visit a new place in the old city, it takes planning. It takes intentionality. It takes setting aside time, right? To like really, I have my consistent routes, but let's say I really want to venture somewhere that I haven't been before. I need to plan. I need to wear the right shoes, quite honestly. These give me a blister every once in a while if I walk in them too long. I have to wear the right shoes. And I have to make the right clothes. There's certain areas you need certain clothes. And you have to be intentional. And you have to be willing to be uncomfortable. You have to be willing to get lost if that's what it takes. And you know what? You're going to find treasures along the way. You're going to find people that are treasures. You're going to find the best coffee you've ever had in your life. And so I guess like that in our walk with God, I just want to encourage each one of us that there are things that we have yet to experience. There is an invitation from God to meet him in new ways, to step outside of our comfort zones, to change our shoes, to set aside time, and to go where it's uncomfortable and unfamiliar, because he does have treasures of his heart and of his self to reveal to us. I wanted to focus a bit more just on God, because he is a treasure and there's much to be discovered and explored and enjoyed. And so 1 John says that God is love. Ephesians 1 talks about the riches of the glorious inheritance that he has for us, his saints who believe. What are these riches? What does he say about himself in his word? And I would love for you guys to call it out. Is it possible? I love whiteboards, and I was dreaming of a whiteboard. Did we already talk about this? Okay. So I heard that it's possible to potentially write up our answers on the whiteboard. So we'll see if it, on this screen. So we'll see if it works. If it doesn't, that's okay. We can just jot them down mentally. But what is it about God that you've either heard about or experienced of his majesty, his power, his goodness, whatever it is? What have you experienced or read in his word about who he says he is? This is the interactive time where you can, yes. I know you by name. He knows us. He knows you by name. Who else? Valerie.
He is faithful, he is just, he is true, and he is ever showing love to us because he said he loves us with an everlasting love.
Amen. He's faithful, just, and true, and he's ever showing us love.
We get tired, after long difficulties. And just the idea, the whole sentence is talking about God, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him, endless energy and boundless strength. Imagine that we're serving a God who, his energy toward us is just without limit.
Endless energy and boundless strength. Amazing. Towards us, he says his endless energy towards us. Anyone else? Yes. Bidiuk.
Merciful, compassionate, long suffering before he gets angry, and full of loyal love.
Amen. I'm going to paraphrase. Gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Is this similar passage? Yes.
I think patient, that long-suffering aspect is one of the greatest things that I'm thankful for that he is with me.
Amen. Patient. He's patient. Yes. Wow, healer. She's experienced him as her healer. men. God speaks to us so that we see that life is glorious and beautiful. He's faithful to his promises. Michi.
He's extremely generous.
He's generous. Our provider.
He doesn't change. He's not like one day he'll be nice to you and the other day he's not happy with you. He's the same. He's consistent.
He never changes. He's consistent. Albert. God says vengeance is his. We can trust him in that.
We can never run away from him, flee from him, because forever is his knowledge and his.
There is nowhere that we can flee from him. We are always in his knowledge and in his sight and presence.
He communicates with us.
He communicates with us. This is incredible. Charlie. Amen.
Just the joy that in the midst of suffering, in the midst of this age, beyond the natural.
He gives us joy that goes beyond all natural circumstances. Yes.
Abounding in steadfast love.
He is abounding in steadfast love.
His discipline.
His discipline. What was the last part? That's it. Yes.
He says also in the Bible that he is willing to do the impossible, to also open the seal of life.
He is the only one found worthy to open the scrolls.
Also says he's light and he's living water. If you want the metaphors.
Jesus says he's humble out of his heart.
He's also a sheep, a lamb, and he's a lion. He's a prince of peace.
There's a term I've heard called the apple of my eye. It's in the Bible. Like it means that you're so close, you see the reflection in somebody else's eye. He's that close to us. I mean, he's like right there. That's powerful.
nothing is impossible with him. And he says all things are possible to those that believe.
He's the friend who laid down his life for us.
What's extraordinary is that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, but he's also a friend. And that's not in our thinking. He's our Father.
And our brother.
He comprehends something.
He's the truth.
And he's a friend, and he's your Father.
Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter.
The Comforter.
Jesus Meachus Men San Men, no, San Men, with Jesus Meachus San God.
Amen. Son of Man and the Son of God.
You can repeat what people say.
Okay.
The Good Shepherd from John 10:11, who lays down his life for the sheep.
The Good Shepherd who lays down his life for a sheep. So thank you all so much for sharing. There's more. Yes.
He's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent.
We could just keep going. This is so powerful. And I really feel like God's inviting us in our own personal times with him to encounter him in these ways, to be willing to go outside of what we've known. Maybe recently I was underneath something heavy in my heart and the Lord said, I want you to dance. And I'm like, I'm not really a dancer. But I turned on some music and everyone else was busy and I like went for it. And you guys, I encountered God. God desires to reveal himself to each one of us. Every one of these things and more that's in the Bible. And so I just want to encourage each one of us to like follow those nudges of his heart, to go home and make a plan and try something new in your quiet time. Maybe even just reading the scripture out loud and walking in your living room, or going outside and just listening and watching for him to show you something or speak his word. He's so personal, and you already have your own language, your own way that he speaks to you and comforts you and shows you himself. And there's an invitation to come to know him in so many more ways. Other features of his heart and his strength. I've been camped out in 1 Chronicles 16 the last few weeks. In 1 Chronicles 16, David has just brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David. And David, being known for being a man after God's own heart, he's teaching us in this scripture. He's actually teaching Asaph and the Levites how to steward the presence of God that dwells there in that ark. But he's teaching them. This is David telling them how to worship God, how to praise him, how to thank him. And so we even have been talking. I'm like, kids, if David is telling the Levites how to do this, I want to know what he has to say. So he says in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8, if you want to look, he says, give thanks to Yahweh and call on his name. Make his deeds known among the people. He's saying testify, just like you guys are doing today. We're testifying of the goodness of God, the ways that we've seen him move. And this actually is so powerful and so encouraging. It stirs up faith. It helps ourselves to remember. In Revelations, it says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimony and our willingness to testify what we've seen God do in our own lives and around us in the past and what he's doing now, it's powerful. It says, speak of all of his wonders, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually, longing to be in his presence. Remember the wonders that he has done. And so he continues on in the passage. He details his covenant with the land, his promises to Abraham, Israel, the earth, and all of creation. And he closes in 33 and 34 by declaring that he is coming to rule the earth and to praise the Lord, for he is good and his steadfast love is eternal. Another powerful scripture that David wrote actually in Psalms 27 about seeking and dwelling in the Lord's presence and beholding his beauty. It's also very timely assuring and assuring for us today. Psalm 27, 1 through 5 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon his beauty and seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock." You know, we do disaster preparedness and response, and what I've learned from all of our experience, and even in being here, is that knowing who God is and who we are in him is the only place that unshakable peace comes from. So just a couple practical things real quick. Justin recently came across this book. It's written by Dick Eastman, I think is his name, yes. He writes this, it's called The Hour That Changed the World. And so, first of all, Justin's going to send it to you in the WhatsApp group. And if you're not in the Narkees WhatsApp group and you want to be, you can also talk to Justin about this. He can help you sign up. He's going to send you the link in the Narkees group. But what I liked about this was he takes an hour and breaks it up into 5-minute blocks. And it's praise and worship, waiting on the Lord, confession of guilt. Anyways, it's all these practical strategies that might feel outside of your comfort zone. Maybe you've never spent 10 minutes just waiting silently on the Lord. Or these are all just different potential strategies, like tools that you could try as a little step outside the comfort zone to encounter him in a new way. So that's why I like this. I did make, I don't know, 8 or 10 copies if you can't get it digitally. So there's this. And you can develop, like, we can just cultivate our awareness of what God's doing by just continually talking to him throughout the day, or meditating on scripture, practicing gratitude. The bottom line is, it does take investment. It takes time. It takes being intentional. And so, but the reward is great. And I know that he's longing to reveal more of himself to us. I want to talk about one last thing. Everybody, do you need a little shake? Do you need a little, like, you know, break? Just one more thing. Because I wanted to talk about us pursuing him corporately and the presence of God here as we meet together. Because the Bible says that where two or more are gathered, he's here. So he is here right now. His presence is here. All of his nature is here. Every attribute of the King of Kings on the throne is here. And there's things that we can do, like, together to press in and be intentional about hosting his presence and meeting with him corporately together. So he's already done his part. He set apart Shabbat as an appointed time to meet with him. Like, this is the time that God set apart every single week to meet with us. He sent his son, Yeshua, who died on the cross to forgive us of every sin, to redeem us so that we can have intimate relationship with him. And so now for us, even as we, back to the visit to the old city, as we are preparing our hearts and our families to come and meet together corporately for worship, there's ways that we can prepare our hearts. Just like you have to put on the right shoes and the right clothes and the right attitude and the bottle of water to venture through the old city all day. Like, if we prepare our hearts, we're really intentional in the morning, as we get ready, as we come together as a family, even as we drive here, like, praying, the Lord goes before us in every way. And, like, you know, putting our phones on silent and just, like, making space with our attitudes and our hearts and our families. He's longing. He, like, there's, we get to encounter him together. And so I'm just really excited. I so feel the invitation and his desire to reveal himself to each one of us on our own and together. And so he is drawing us deeper into his heart, into his life. Narcisse, the, you know, drawing disciples deeper is this heart of Narcisse and the people and God's heart to pour through us. So as we seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. So let's be intentional, set time apart, and be ready to encounter more of who he is. So I'm going to pray from Ephesians 1. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us to who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above every rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So God, I just lift up each one of us, and I ask that you'd give us a hunger and a desire to meet you in new ways, to come to know more of you, more of your glory and your love and your goodness. I thank you, God, that your desire is for us, that you delight in us, that you care for us, that you long to encounter our hearts and heal what's broken and reveal your goodness in every area of our life. So, Lord, I pray that we could take courage, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength, and that we could really come back with testimonies of encounters with you this week. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.